All right. Who's glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Oh, come on now. That's it? Who's glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Okay, that's a little bit better. That's a little bit better. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in John chapter 11. John chapter 11 to start. So hold on, because we're going to go everywhere through the Bible. So it's good to be here again. I had a great time at lunch, and everybody's back, but it's not nap time, okay? Especially you. I got to keep my eye on you. I'm just going to come down here tonight and just preach to you, I think, okay? But I appreciate getting to know Pastor and appreciate all the blessings that he's given for me and my family while we've been here just a couple days. And it's just been good to be in Macon, Georgia. Never been to Macon, Georgia before. And apparently you guys know how to say amen as well. So, amen. But this morning I was giving you a little bit about my testimony. And told you that I didn't grow up in a Christian home or didn't go to church when I was young. And so when I see young people in church or I talk with young people who were saved early, it's a blessing because they didn't go through, per se, you know, what I did. You know, if they had saved parents, went to church, you know, they were protected from a lot of the world in most cases, right? And then the downfall is that is some of them think, well, my testimony's not that great. I got saved when I was 8 or 9 years old and been in church ever since. Hey, that is the best. That is the best testimony that you can have. God has kept you safe. God has protected you from this world. Because like I said this morning, that devil wants to destroy us. He wants to devour us, eat us alive, and make us and render us useless for the Lord. And so if the Lord has prepared a safe home, a safe environment, and a godly mom and dad, then amen. Praise the Lord. You know, like I said, I was 38 when I got saved. And when I got saved, things changed. I spent a lot of time in the bars. I spent a lot of time drinking. And, I'm sad to say that my children saw that. You know, they saw that. Especially my older one. My older one was, fourth grade? Probably about fourth grade when I got saved. And Roman, you know, he said to me the other day, I got to make sure I get this right, but the other day he said, "Dad, you sure have changed a lot in 10 years." And I said, "Well, that's a good thing." Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because I can tell you this. At 38 years old, I was in the Air Force for 16 years, and I was just living my life the way I wanted to live. In August of 2014, the Lord laid it on my heart. Conviction was overwhelming that I was going to die and go to hell. And I didn't want to go. And I knew, and I can tell you for sure, that had I not repented of my sins, called on the Lord to save me, I know I wouldn't be here today. I would not be here today just because that's what sin does. When you're involved in sin, sin leads to death. Sin bringeth forth death every time. You think you can hide it. You think you can get away with it. You think you are stronger than sin, stronger than the devil. That's not true. It's not true at all. But when I got saved, the Lord changed me. The Holy Spirit came in, started cleaning things up, and He took that drinking away. He took that drinking away. I didn't ever go to, you know, one of these Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, or I didn't even say I was going to quit drinking. Right? The Lord just kind of separated that from me. He started separating my so-called friends at the time. And I didn't know anything to do. All I knew is we had been going to a Southern Baptist church for 5 years and never really got any Bible. Okay? Never got really any Bible. And I didn't know what to do. All I did was say this. I just prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, show me truth." That's all I knew to say. I didn't know anything. Show me truth. But what I did know is when I looked around where I was, and in those churches, I knew that wasn't truth. Right? I knew what the man was talking about at the pulpit wasn't truth. I knew what we all were doing wasn't truth. So I just asked the Lord to show me truth. And a couple months after that, I got an assignment to go to South Korea. And you know, South Korea is usually a one-year tour by yourself, and it's a year of partying. That's what you do. Go over there by yourself and you party for a year. And I was thinking, whoa, Lord. But the Lord had a whole plan worked out in that. So they told us that that my wife and kids wouldn't go, couldn't go. And so we began asking questions, you know, because, hey, why not? Let's see if we can go. Well, they wouldn't pay for them to go. They said, no, you can't go. It's an unaccompanied tour, meaning you have to go by yourself. And so we began asking more questions and more questions. And the more we got into it, the more there was already a bunch of people, spouses over there. And so we had been praying about it, and the Lord just kind of seemed to open the doors. And so I decided to take them with me. And all the while, this was God's plan. Right? They said they couldn't travel with me. They traveled with me. They said that they wouldn't pay for their travel. They paid for our travel. They said they wouldn't have medical benefits. We got medical benefits. They said they wouldn't have a place to stay. When we got there, they didn't let us stay on base. They let us stay off base, which was even more great. So we got to live downtown. And you know what? They paid us more to live off of base. And so just praise the Lord. But I say in all this because God was moving and working pieces. And Dave Lewis, who's a missionary out of Madison Baptist Church in Madison, Alabama, was in Korea as a missionary for, say, 16, 17 years, somewhere in there. And about the same time that I got saved, like a year prior, he had moved a church from Seoul, South Korea, up to Osan Air Base, right outside the Air Base gate. And it was an independent Baptist church. I didn't know that. I didn't know what that was. But all I saw was, I looked and there's two Baptist churches. We'll go to this one because it's closer. It's right outside the gate. So we went there. And as you guys could probably attest, we walked into the doors and everything was different. As soon as we walked in, everything was different. Their dress was different. Their lingo was different. We come in and everybody's nice and welcoming. And then he starts preaching. And he's preaching from the Bible. Go figure, right? He's preaching from the King James Bible. And so we didn't go anywhere else. We just stayed there. And that year, Roman got saved there. And the Lord really just changed our lives drastically, completely. All because I was praying for truth. And the Lord showed us truth. Right, so got the right Bible, got rid of all that worldly music, got the movies, the music, the dress, all those things were changed, not for salvation, but because of salvation. Salvation had changed us, the new creature, remember? And not that I was trying to work my way for anything, but that I wanted to please the Lord. I turned 40 years old over there, and so for 40 years of my life, I live for me and doing my thing. And here I am. I'm getting truth and we're growing. And I'm like, that's in the Bible? That's in the Bible? No way. Did you hear what he said, that preacher said? Go look in the Bible. It's in the Bible. What? Right? And that was like, for a whole year we were getting, right? But the Holy Spirit works like that. And so that was, let's see, that was 2016 or so. And I was in the Air Force for about 17 years, and so we came back. And in 2018, the Lord called me to preach, and so I had 19 years in the Air Force, and we were laying out for me to make Chief Master Sergeant E9. And I went in and said, Lord's called me to preach. I'm getting out. I'm going to put in my paperwork to retire, and I'm going to Bible college. What? And then I told my family. And like, you're crazy. You're going to what? Right? And so that's kind of where it was. But that's what we did. Got out of the Air Force and we moved to Alabama. Madison, Alabama. And went to Bible college there with Pastor Allison. And graduated and got ordained last year. And just seeking the Lord's will. Just seeking the Lord's will on what's next. What's next. So, amen. John chapter 11. I told you to hold off. Hold on. I'm going to just read two verses, and then here we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff. So, in John chapter 11, we know this is the chapter where Jesus raised Lazarus from the death, from the grave after 4 days. But in verse 25, it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So my message tonight is, do you believe? And more specifically, do you believe is, what do you believe? What do you believe? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And Lord, thank you for such a blessing to be here. I thank you for a great day in your house this morning, the services, a blessing to our hearts, Lord. And I just pray now that you'll meet with us again here, and that your Spirit will be here, and that you'll fill me with your Spirit. Give me the words to speak, Lord. And do what only you can do here today, and then give you all the glory and honor that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe, and what do you believe? In a world where there's really no truth, truth has really gone out the door. Nobody knows what truth is anymore. What do you believe? Do you believe anything these days? And there's really, people don't want to stand on any type of a truth anymore. And it's ultimately leading to the downfall of our nation. Because the reality of it is there's only one truth, and that's the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy Word. Thy Word is truth. That's the only truth we have in this world. But nowadays, I read some articles online that if you believe you're a cat, you can be a cat. And there's these kids in school that are saying that they believe they're a cat, and therefore they have to be treated as such. There's no truth in that. There's no truth in that. And so I ask you, what do you believe? And why do you believe it? It seems like people look for truth, but they don't always want to find the truth. You know, they're looking for truth in the wrong places. Whether they're looking for truth in a relationship or a job or a person or this or that, it's just not going to happen. And people will stand for whatever they feel at that moment. But what do you believe? What do you believe, and why do you believe it? So today, like I said, I'm just going to start here, and I'm just going to go through some of the main doctrines of the Bible, and I'm going to ask you, do you believe? Why do you believe it? And I'm going to tell you why I believe it. Number one, I want to ask you, do you believe that this Bible right here is the inerrant, infallible Word of God? Do you believe it? This King James Bible right here is the preserved Word for English-speaking people. Do you believe it? God said He would preserve His Word. Look over at Psalm chapter 12. Over here in Psalm chapter 12. God said He'd have a preserved Word for us. And I believe it's the King James Bible. In Psalm chapter 12, in verse 6 and 7, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation," and what? "And forever." I believe this Bible right here is the preserved Word of God. Do you? I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture. That word, God, inspiration, it means God breathed. God literally breathed out His Word in the original format, and He preserved it here for us in the King James Bible. Do you believe it? Do you believe that? It's given to us for many things. For life. All the answers to God, to life's problems are in this book. How to raise kids, how to live a life, how to find a wife, what kind of job to look for. All these things are answered in this King James Bible. But you say, oh yeah, preacher, but wasn't the Bible written by men? Heard that one before? Yes, the Bible was written by men. Some 40 men wrote this Bible, and it was a period of over 1,600 years. But you know who was ultimately the author of the Scripture? The Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Do you believe that? I do. I believe that God used these 40 men, And I believe these men were filled with the Holy Spirit. And God made sure as those men wrote down the words of the Bible, that they wrote down God's Word, that the Holy Spirit made sure that what was written down was already written down in heaven. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Do you believe it? Listen, in a world where there is no truth, if we don't have some kind of truth to stand on, where are we going to go and what are we going to do when we walk out of these doors? What are we going to do? We're going to crumble. If there's no truth, there's nothing to stand on, we're going to crumble in this world and the devil will see to it. But I believe this Bible to be the preserved Word of God. In Matthew chapter 4, and verse 4, the Bible says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You see, I told you before, I was in some other churches, and I didn't have the right Bible, and I was using a Bible that didn't have every word of God. You see, those other versions, they remove words of God. They remove the deity of Christ. They remove the blood of Christ. They remove certain things in the Bible and words to downplay the deity of Christ and the deity of the Scripture. But I believe this to be the very preserved Word of God. Do you? Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I mentioned this morning with our Emmaus Road, what Jesus did with those two is He gave them the Scriptures. He gave them the words. He didn't give them a man's thought. He gave them the Scriptures. And that's what we're to do, because the Scriptures go deep. It's like a two-edged sword pierces to the soul. Right? Whenever a lost person is under conviction, the Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. The Holy Spirit is dealing with that person. You know, that's the Word of God. I can't speak to you and make that happen. Pastor can't speak to you and make that happen. It's only through the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not convicting you, you cannot be saved. The Holy Spirit has to draw all men unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe this Bible to be the very Word of God? Let me move on here. Number two. Do you believe that God created everything? Let's go to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. So 2 weeks ago, we started in a new nursing home. And we like to do the nursing home ministry. And we started in this new nursing home. And we go in and we'll do a church service. You know, they're singing, and then I preach, and then praying, and just kind of like a little church service. Well, 2 weeks ago, I met a man by the name of Curtis. Curtis is 77 years old, and after the service, I sat down with him for about 2 hours, and we had a long conversation. But turns out that Curtis, he owns a big farm in our where we're from. And like, everybody knows him, right? Everybody knows him. When he said his name, I was like, yeah, I knew him. So, but anyway, we sat down and I began talking with him. And Curtis was like, "All I've done my whole life is work on the farm. From the time I was born till now, all I did was work. And so I've never thought about there being a creator. I never thought about there being anything after this world. I always just believed what they told me. That there was some big bang, and out of that big bang, life appeared." I'm like, "Curtis, you never..." As a farmer, I'm like, you look around. The Bible says you can look around at nature, you know, and you can say, "Hey, there's got to be a creator, right?" He's like, "No." And so I just began going through the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Do you believe it? I think, personally, it takes a whole lot less faith to believe this than it does that there was a big bang, and out of that came so many things. Right, many of you were in the military. I was talking with somebody this morning about the first Gulf War. I told them, I remember watching that on TV, where we're dropping bombs. Right, we're dropping bombs over there, and everywhere we dropped bombs, or bombs were dropped, No life ever came out of those explosions, did it? Those explosions destroyed life. No life can ever come from that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that the very way that it's said here, from the very Word of God, in Genesis chapter 1 gives us the account of how He created everything in 6 days. In six literal 24 days. And on the seventh day, He rested. But I got to read this one to you. In verse 26. 26 and 27 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Hey, if you're a male, God created you to be a male. If you're a female, God created you to be a female. There's no questions about it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, or you're thinking something else. God specifically put in here because He knew in 2023, 24, whatever, that man would become so smart that they would think there's 150-some genders. Right? For all of creation before, man was wise and they knew. Oh, male. Yeah, oh, female. Two genders. But now, everybody is so smart. No, there's only two. God said it. That settles it. There's only two genders. It doesn't take a rocket science degree to figure that out. God said it. Male and female. And He created us for a specific person, or for a specific reason. Male and female. And you say, well, how did God create man? Well, He spoke. And you look at chapter 2 and verse 7. I love this verse. In verse 7 it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." He created man. He created Adam, and he was just this man. This man was with no life in him. And God took that man, and He breathed into his nostril the breath of life. Amen? Is that not good stuff? And man became a living soul. Amen. Like I said, this is basic stuff here, right? Basic doctrine. But in a world where there's no truth, so many people do not believe this. If we are not armed with the truth when we go out and those questions come up, what are we going to do? What are we going to stand on? Right? How are we going to tell somebody that we believe God created the heaven and the earth if we don't even believe it? Right? We got to stand on the Word of God, and that's it. And the account goes on. He creates Adam, and He creates Eve, and He puts them in a perfect garden. And He gives them one command. He says, don't eat off of this one tree, right? Don't eat off of that, because if you do, you'll die. And then in Genesis chapter 3, we have that account where they disobey God. In verse number 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said." Think about that for a minute. Yea, hath God said. The devil's still doing the same thing today. Yea, hath God said, this is the Word of God? It's not really true, is it? Yea, hath God said, go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Yea, hath God said, to be separate from the world? Right, and the list goes on and on. The devil just wants to implant a little bit of doubt, a little bit of uncertainty. And you know what? We could probably pull up all of the false religions in the world and see how they put just a little bit of doubt, tweaked in just a little bit of doubt, and the devil was able to form a new religion, right? A new religion, just enough to keep people out of heaven and on their way to hell. And let me finish that verse. It says, "Yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In verse number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You say, why am I old? Why can't I run as fast as I used to? Sin. Why do I have to get cancer? Why is my hair falling out? Why can't I not do what I used to do? Sin. Sin. And the wages of our sin is death every time. Death. Yea, hath God said. Just a little bit of doubt is all it took. Just a little bit of doubt. But hey, do you believe the account of creation? Do you believe that God is the very God manifested in this book? I do. Let's move on. What about Jesus Christ? Do you believe Jesus to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Chosen One, the Savior of all mankind? Hey, it's interesting because in this book here, in the Old Testament alone, there's over 300 prophecies of Jesus coming. His death, His burial, the resurrection, the birth. Over 300 prophecies. Let me show you one. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Familiar verse, I'm sure you already know this one, but Isaiah 7, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Keep that thought. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. See, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In a world where there's no truth, what do you believe in? What do you believe? Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the true peace in this world. When we go out these doors, if we're not armed with these basic doctrines, where will we stand? Yea, hath God said, will we fall? Will we give in? Will we just let that devil give us a little bit of doubt? But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There in verse 7 it says, of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon this kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord hosts will perform this. Hey, Jesus Christ is the Savior of all mankind. And when you turn over to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18, we have the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So they were not married. Mary becomes pregnant. The Holy Ghost appears to him and tells him, hey, it's of the Holy Ghost. In verse 20, it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Hey, she didn't cheat on you. She's faithful. This is from the Holy Ghost. This is from God. And here we go. Verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, we just read it, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted is God with us. Hey, this is the prophecy of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. He has come. He was born of a virgin, born to save all men from their sin, to go to the cross of Calvary, to die on the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood for you and for me and for all people in the world, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where we're at. We have sinned. We have come short. If I was to say to you, have you ever played darts? If I was to hang a dartboard up there and say, let's throw darts and see who can get the bullseye, and every one of you missed the bullseye, and I say, that's it, you've all missed the mark. You missed the mark. But you say, no, preacher, look, I was the closest. Doesn't matter. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the boat. You might be thinking, I'm pretty good. I was there. Doesn't work that way. You might be saying, yeah, but my works, they're good works. We were just talking about that this morning in this afternoon in Matthew chapter 7. All those good works, they don't go on a scale. The Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. As filthy rags. This was the virgin birth of Christ, but I got to tell you, this isn't where Jesus had his beginning. He's always been. Turn over to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, yeah, it's great we celebrate Christmas and we put up scenes like the major scene and we have baby Jesus in the manger, but baby Jesus is not in the manger. We have religions who have Jesus still on the cross. Jesus is not on the cross. He came off the cross. They buried him, put him in a tomb. He rose from the dead 3 days later. Jesus Christ did not get his beginning here. In Matthew chapter 1, in John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, let's think about it. This Word, what is this Word? Let's read on. It says, the same was in the beginning with God. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's read on. Number 3. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay, and so I read to you in the beginning, in John chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God created everything. Jesus created everything. But how do we know that this God that we're talking about here is Jesus? Look down at verse 14. It tells us, and the Word. See that? And the Word was made flesh, and what? He dwelt among us. When did that happen? When Jesus took the form of man, He took on flesh, He left the confines of heaven, and He took on the form of a man, and He came to die for you and I. Oh, what great, what amen, hallelujah to that. I got to show you this one here. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Yeah, Philippians chapter 2. I'm just going to read you a few more verses right here. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 5, let me start there. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. He took on flesh and blood for you and me. He came here as a servant. He wasn't born in some big fancy houses or anything like that. He was born in a manger, right? He didn't come. He came being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Right? He humbled himself to go to the cross of Calvary for us. He humbled himself. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hey, listen, you might be here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ. You are fighting it, you're putting it off, and one day that old heart's going to stop ticking. And if you don't call on Him before then, the Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Amen. I do. I believe that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt. He humbled Himself, left heaven to come here to die for me. And I mean, that's just a thought there. Why would He do that for me? A sinner. Deserving of hell. And then to top it all off, He didn't just die. It wasn't just a quiet death. He died the most cruel, unusual, inhumane punishment way of death. You know, and that was the cross. He was, before that, He was beaten. He was scourged. You know, He was whipped and had chunks of flesh ripped out from Him. He endured that for you and for me. You know, and his beard was ripped out. The crown of thorns put on His head. And they pushed that down. And that skin there is thin. That hurts. Right? And the blood in His eyes. And then they said, you know, you're going to the cross. But, you know, when they put that cross down to put Him on that cross, He didn't shy away from it. He got right up on that cross with you on His mind, with me on His mind. He says, I'm dying for that sinner. I'm going to the cross. I'm not quitting. He's like Paul. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. I'm not quitting. I'm going through and I'm completed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. And you know what was the most glorious thing on that cross? When Jesus is hanging on that cross, it's recorded 7 sayings. And you know what's the glorious one? He said, it is finished. It is finished. Hey, listen, before the foundation of the world, God knew He would send His Son, Jesus Christ, on that cross. And Jesus says, it is finished. I have come. Salvation is now possible for you and for me and for everybody. All they have to do is believe on me. Believe that I paid the penalty. Believe that I've sacrificed myself. I've shed my blood for you and for me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I do. I do. Let me give you one more here. Since I got God the Father, God the Son, let's do God the Holy Spirit. Let's do God the Holy Spirit. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is God? 1 John 5:7, for there are 3 that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one. Hey, listen, the Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost isn't some lose yourself crazy thing. The Holy Spirit is God. All right? And the Holy Spirit has certain jobs to do, ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over with me to John. And let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. All right, let me go to John chapter 16 first. John chapter 16. So I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit comes. He is to, here in verse 7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. So Jesus is talking. He's saying, hey, it's expedient for me to go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That Holy Spirit convicts that lost sinner of those things. Of sin, verse number 9, because they believe not on me. All right, of sin because they believe not on me. The unbelief of Jesus Christ is the one sin that will send a person to hell. The unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse number 10 says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. I'm going to stop there. It says, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit isn't going to lead you astray. I've seen these signs of these churches, and it says something like this, the Holy Ghost Church. That's a false church. It says, for he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit isn't going to draw attention to himself. You can say the Holy Spirit is the shy part of the Trilogy. He is not going to speak of himself. It says, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Here it is, verse 14. Says, he shall glorify me. He's going to glorify Jesus Christ. Right? So whenever you see people getting all crazy, saying this is in the Holy Spirit, that's not the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit is going to glorify God in all things. It's going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. He's going to draw you to Jesus Christ by way of your sin, righteousness, and judgment. Do you believe that? That's just Bible. That's just plain Bible. So, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that this is the very Word of God preserved for us in the form of the King James Bible? Hey, do you believe that God is the Creator of all things? Not even a question for me. Don't even question it. I know. The Bible says. God said it. That settles it. Where are you at on that? Do you believe? What about the Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been redeemed through Jesus Christ? If not, hey, dear friend, today could be the last day. I think about that all the time. 38 years I lived. And I could tell you time after time after time that I could have been killed, could have died, that it could have been the old heart just stopped beating. And I would have went out into eternity. And I know that I would be like that rich man in Luke chapter 16. And in hell, I would have lifted up my eyes, being in torment. That rich man's still there today. He's still there today, asking for just one drip of water. I know that's where I would have went, that if I would have died before I got saved. And I think about it, 38 years out of God's mercy, out of His love, that He let me live to get saved. Now, I don't know you, and you don't really know me. But hey, He does. He knows you. He knows your heart. And have you been born again? If not, you can do that today. You can get born again, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Turn over with me to John chapter 10. I just want to show you this here, and then I will be closing. In John chapter 10, here's the glorious truth of salvation. If you're saved here today, you can never lose your salvation. You can never lose your salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can never lose your salvation. You cannot give it back. You cannot decide to trade it in if you've truly been born again. John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus is speaking here, and He says, my sheep, referring to us, referring to the Christians, referring to those that's been born again. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then in verse 30 he says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. It's like this. You've been born again. Jesus takes you, wraps you in the palm of his hand. You're safe, you're secure, you're not getting out. But then he says, God the Father wraps his hand around Jesus and around you. You're not getting out. You are secure. Eternal salvation. And then you know what happens after that? Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. That Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. And that is the glorious promise that you can never lose your salvation, dear friend. If you have truly been born again, you are safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close on that because that is such a great thought. Let's pray.